Hey friends, this is George Norton. Don't miss this year's UFO Paranormal Summit in Sacramento, California on June 16th and 17th at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel. Come see Stanton Friedman, Project Camelot's Kerry Cassidy, Area 51 legend Norio Hayakawa, Scotty Roberts and Anthony F. Sanchez, critically acclaimed author of the book UFO Highway, and many more of your favorite paranormal and UFO researchers. The UFO Paranormal Summit is bringing together the best minds in paranormal investigative, crypto hunting, and UFO alien hunting fields. For the strange, mysterious, and frightening, nothing will be left unanswered. Happening June 16th and 17th in Sacramento. Go to sacufocon.com, that's sacufocon.com, for more information. Or type UFO Paranormal Summit in your very favorite search engine or Facebook, and you can find it that way. sacufocon.com. Mm.
So, after being in all of the presidential libraries and everything, do you think there has been presidential involvement in the topic of psychic phenomena?
Absolutely. I think, I was going to put it on my website. I haven't got it yet. There is an actual direct piece of evidence that proves that they were. One of the things I'd gone to Hal Putoff, as you know, ran the remote viewing program and for the CIA. And I'd asked Hal Putoff, I said, was the president briefed on remote viewing? And he said, up to Bush, vice president, yes. Now, I don't know who did the briefing, but if Hal Putoff says yes. The important fact of that is that and I've run around to the different presidential libraries, I've been to all of them. If you look up UFOs, you will think the president has never discussed it. You will think it has never been brought up in the White House. There is nothing, literally nothing in any presidential library on UFOs. So we would say, well, it's not, you know, nothing happened. They're telling the truth. There's no cover up. But the fact is, there's nothing in the presidential libraries either on remote viewing. Absolutely nothing. No reference, no documents, nothing. But we know for a fact that the president was briefed on remote viewing. And Jimmy Carter has just come out. His latest book was, I think, called Carter's Diary or My Diary or something. And people can look it up and look up in the index, look up remote or psychic phenomena, I think it is. And Jimmy Carter actually talks. And we actually have the dates when he was briefed on the remote viewing program. And he talks about it, and he basically says there's a story, and Jimmy Carter leaked this story out. And there was some controversy that he actually leaked it. And he was told a story. They had lost – Jimmy Carter tells you know, the cover story. He says that we lost a two-engine plane, a U.S. two-engine plane in Africa. And the CIA brought in a psychic, and she identified where this plane was. And then we sent the satellite over, and we sent the people in, and it was exactly where this woman said it was. Now, he talks about it in his diary in two different places, and you have to have the date. So, I run back to the presidential library, and I check the date, and there is no reference whatsoever to anything on remote viewing for that day. And yet, Jimmy Carter, in his diary, talks about being briefed on it on that date. Now, it actually wasn't a plane. It wasn't a two-engine plane. It was a Tupolev T-80, I think it was. It was a Russian bomber that had been converted to an intelligence gathering plane that had gone down. The Americans knew this plane had gone down in Nigeria or one of those countries, and they were scrambling to try to find this plane because it had all this intelligence material on it. And the U.S., why would the U.S. intelligence worry about some two-engine plane? I mean, when you find it, you find it. It's because they were trying to get to this Soviet bomber, this intelligence plane, before the Soviets got to it. And they actually got the plane, and that story is told by all the remote viewing books. If you look in the remote viewing books, they'll tell this story. And it was the remote viewers. There was two. There was a woman at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. This is the one that targeted it. And there was somebody at Stanford Research Institute who also targeted it. And they had it partly in a river about 20 miles from where everybody was looking for it. So the two remote viewers picked up this plane. But Jimmy Carter actually confirms, yes, he was briefed on this. And his words were, it was the one of the most dramatic things in his presidency. The most dramatic things he'd ever seen in his presidency was this incident or this experience with psychic phenomena. Now, Jimmy Carter on UFOs, if you see him now, he basically denies UFOs. I mean, he says he doesn't believe ETs have visited the Earth, and he says the thing that he saw might have been a military experiment from some air base 20 miles south or something like that. He's really backpedaling on the UFO thing. But in terms of psychic phenomena, Jimmy Carter does support the idea of the psychic phenomena and the remote viewing, and his wife was extremely interested. That's another thing we know, is Rosalind Carter was extremely interested in remote viewing, and there's the famous story told about Uri Geller, that Uri Geller was invited to a meeting with a dinner with the president and with the first lady, and she was interested in him bending spoons. So Uri Geller is bending these spoons, and Henry Kissinger was sitting on the other side of Uri Geller, and then Uri Geller says something about reading Rosalind Carter's mind or whatever, and then he turned to Kissinger and says, "Do you want me to read your mind?" And Kissinger freaked out. He just sort of backed away. It was like he had so much stuff in his head that he was petrified by this Uri Geller, by this incident that happened. But Rosalind Carter was extremely interested in Uri Geller. She was a very big fan of Uri Geller. So the presidents have this kind of stuff. And as you know, with Ronald Reagan, he and Nancy read the astrology stuff every day. They were extremely interested in psychic phenomena. That's all sort of documented. And the one with that happened in the Clinton administration, I don't know if you know this story or remember this story. A lot of what happens with the president in terms of UFOs or psychic phenomena, you can't bring it near the president. You can't get the president tied into it because it's so damaging. And the proof of that is Nancy Reagan got caught with the astrology thing. And there was when I filed the FOIA at the Reagan Library, there's 2,500 pages of newspaper articles. This was a big story. And Hillary Clinton got caught. Hillary Clinton, the story was that the Clintons were bringing in all these New Age people into the White House. It was a Friday evening thing. They would have these introductory or guest speakers and stuff, and they were bringing these people in. And the one person that they were bringing in who was very close friends with Hillary Clinton was Jean Houston. Now, Jean Houston was a New Age, very high prominent person in New York City, was friends with Rockefeller, and she had this thing that Bob Woodward picked up and put in a book and caused huge embarrassment for Hillary Clinton. And this was this thing, and he called it channeling, and she had to put out a statement, and I've got the statement. I did the FOIA. She put out a statement saying, no, this wasn't channeling. And it was basically she would sit down and Jean Houston would guide this sort of a channeling session, and she was talking to Eleanor Roosevelt, and then she was talking to Gandhi, and then Hillary or Jean Houston was going to get her to talk to Jesus. And at that point, she decided, no, I can't do this. But she had a lot of these sessions with Jean Houston. Now, this became exposed by Woodward in this book, and it caused huge problems. No, she wasn't channeling, and it made the whole White House look crazy. That's crazy First Lady. She's channeling dead people. And so the presidents have been very interested all the way back, if you remember back to the Lincoln days, that Lincoln's wife was having seances. They had lost a child. The Lincolns had lost a child very early, and Lincoln's wife didn't get over it, and they had seances all the time in the White House in the 1860s. So this psychic phenomena thing is something that goes through all the presidents. It appears that the presidents are kind of into that kind of stuff. Especially their wives, they're into this sort of paranormal stuff, and the wives are always interested in this channeling thing. There's a number of U.S. administrations where the first ladies were having seances and stuff like that in the White House. This is very common.
Wow. Well, my goodness. So, what do you think about this whole disclosure issue in a paragraph or so?
Okay. I say it's up to ufology. I don't think it's up to science. I don't think it's up to the government to disclose. I think it's up to the UFO community. We should be happy that we've had a part in this very important event in history. It is up to us to disclose this. It's not up to somebody to raise the white flag and get it out. And I say about disclosure, when it's time for disclosure, it's time for disclosure. Then it'll happen. Not until. Until we've done on our lessons, until we've done the work. Every social and political movement that has had a bad issue like UFOs, an issue that nobody wanted to deal with, whether it was gay rights, women's right to vote, AIDS, civil rights, every one of those movements that had these ugly issues that nobody wanted to deal with, they have forced the issue, and when they put enough pressure on the government, then everybody joins sides and says, oh, I was always with you. It's not until the UFO community puts enough pressure and does the work. It's not up to science, not up to anybody. It's up to you and I to get the message out, to put the pressure on, to get the word out. Disclosure is up to us, not to the government, not to anybody else. This is ours. It's not up to the media. Our game. It's up to us to do.
Now, if people want to visit your website, could you tell us what your website address is?
Website is presidentialufo.com. And all my latest articles are there on the front page. And then if you go to articles, on the right-hand side, there's a thing on articles that has some of the big articles that I've written, and it gives you sort of an overview of all the type of things that I've done. And then, of course, there's the different chapters on the various presidents if you're doing research on a president. I've tried to collect all the stories on all the presidents, so all that stuff is there. But I'm more into the aspect of trying to find out what this is all about now rather than the stories about the presidents. That's there, but I think the more important stuff is in the articles.
Right. I know that you have the paper Presidential UFO Audio Story that contains 60 or more embedded UFO audio clips
yeah.
of the presidents and their aides or people talking about the presidents and UFOs.
Yeah, and there are some interesting ones there. We've tried to collect – that's the thing, tried to collect all the audios of the presidents talking about it, all the videos, and So it's an interesting site. It's a pretty big site. If people are there, they'll realize that it's a huge, massive site that has a lot of links, and it can take you months to go through it. But I think there's some significant stuff there that people would find interesting and revealing. It's hard research. It's just it's not a lot of speculation. It's basically research.
You know, I was interested in the signatures on the WhiteHouse.gov petition. Why do you think we haven't been able to get enough signatures on that?
Well, I think it's basically, again, it comes up to the UFO community to get the information out. We did on the first one, and one of the FOIs that I had filed was the first one required 5,000 signatures. And then they moved it to 25,000 signatures. And I think part of that was to block the UFO signatures, the UFO petitions from getting through. And I filed, I said, well, one of the FOIs, I said, I want all the information, the details, why the White House changed from 5,000 to 25,000 signatures. Unfortunately, part of the government or the part of the White House that runs it isn't part of the FOIA, so they just basically say we don't have anything. I asked the wrong department, so I can't really ask them. But I think now we have a problem of sort of people that are sort of burnt out by petitions. But as I said, the problem is not so much that the government is not doing their job or the media, it's the UFO community isn't doing our job, that we are sort of, we like to go to conferences, we like to listen to people speak, but when it comes to the actual advocacy, we really don't do anything. The most people that we've ever had outside the White House protesting for UFO disclosure was in the 1990s, was 19 people. The UFO community is very passive, really not very radical. You even have the Wall Street movement where they didn't even know what they were protesting about, and they were able to get 30,000 people. It's a matter of knowing how to get it. It's a matter of knowing how movements work and how to generate, how to get these people. And the only real radical we ever had in the UFO community was the story of Laura Johnston back in the 1990s. And she went on a hunger strike to get Bush to come clean on UFOs. She went on a 42-day hunger strike, and I knew her in California. I was writing articles on while this was going on, and she was basically ridiculed by the UFO community. You're making us look bad. What are you doing? Are you stupid? You're not doing a Gandhi thing. And she was just ridiculed. So when I went to California to see her at the end of the thing, I was there 2 days after she ended the hunger strike. I said, Laura, why did you end the hunger strike? She said, I just came to the conclusion that if the UFO community didn't give a damn, why should I die for them? Because she was just ridiculed by the UFO community. The UFO community is very passive. We're not very aggressive. We're not very skilled at getting protests and getting stuff together. And that's where we have to work on that. We have to get the message out. We have to work on getting people more interested. And part of the problem is it's not a money issue. So, you know, I said one of the best things that could happen is gas to go to $20 a gallon. Then people would get more radical about the UFO issue that we got to do something about this. But as long as gas is cheap and you've got a job and stuff, we can drill another oil well. It's an interest thing. It's a hobby. It's an interesting sort of subject, but it's not something that I'm going to go and demonstrate. I'm going to really put some time in or do this kind of stuff. It's for a lot of people in the UFO community, it's still just a hobby. It's interesting. It's interesting to listen to. But in terms of advocacy, there's really not that many people. There's Steve Bassett and a few other people who dedicate their lives to it. But other than that, there's really not that many dedicated people to advocacy for UFO disclosure.
Mm. Now, I'm going to ask you a wild question.
Go.
Do you think remote viewing was used in locating Osama bin Laden?
I would say it is. It was. Even if they didn't, I'm sure they used it. There's a story told that, and I've told this story, that Ronald Pandolfi, who Jerry and I have talked about a number of times, who's the sort of the noted head of the phenomenology desk, is very proud of the fact that he shut down the remote viewing program, that he shut this thing down. The reason I think the remote viewing program was shut down was because Jim Mars was coming out with a book. And Jim Mars had all the names and he had all the stories and he was coming out with a book. And that book was blocked. Jim Mars will tell the story. That book was blocked just before they shut down the remote viewing program. If that book had come out, they would have been stuck with the remote viewing program because Jim Mars would have brought it out. And then they would have had to say, yes, we have the program. What they did was they shut the program down. Pandolfi shut the program down. Then they said, oh, we discovered it didn't work. It's a bunch of nonsense. Then they let the book come out. Then you can say, well, yeah, we had it, but it was a waste of time. But if you get caught with the program active, you don't. Now, it's not they shut the program down. What they do is they take the program. The security has been violated by Jim Marr's book coming out. What they do is they shut the program down and go deep black. And Gary Beckham and a number of other people have detailed the fact that the NSA is involved. And the NSA has showed pretty good evidence that they are now sort of in charge of this program. Now, if you have the remote viewing program, if you ran it for 20 years and it worked and you had some very successful hits, as Jimmy Carter showed, that why would you not use it even if it only worked 1% of the time? So you get 100 different hits, one of them is going to be right. Even if it had any 1% chance, they're going to use it because what does it cost? The intelligence community will always do something to move it on because the Russians are working on it, the Chinese are working on it. You've got to work on it even though you may think it doesn't work very good or it's not right. So, yes, they definitely tried. Now, what success they had, but they would have been crazy not to try it. If it worked to find this plane in Africa under Jimmy Carter, it's going to work to find Osama bin Laden, and they've probably put it in front of all their big problems. It's just the problem that it's not that good in terms of it's not 100% reliable. So who knows what the success was, but definitely the intelligence community is not stupid. I mean, if you can gain something by doing it, they're going to try it.
Well, very, very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing your work. Now, will you be appearing at any conferences in the next few months?
The only one I'm doing for sure is the one in Philadelphia. That's September 28th to 29th. There may be one in Arizona, but nothing's been confirmed. I've had sort of a lot of tentative offers, but the one in Philadelphia, and I'm always at every conference. Most of the conferences I travel around because I like to hear everybody else. People do a lot of research, and there's some good speakers there, and I pick up a lot just by sitting at a conference and listening to everybody else's research. So I'm generally around, but the only one for sure I'm doing is Philadelphia in September.
Okay. Are there any other things you would like to visit about?
Well, we did the Goldwater. Let's see. The Clinton stuff, I guess I can mention the Clinton stuff. On my website as well, I have a lot of new documents on I've got the Blue Room documents from Ray Patterson. I'm doing all the Clinton material, and I filed all these Free Information Act requests with the Clintons. I filed about 100 Free Information Act requests. And a lot of them have come back, and I've got the Area 51 files. If you go to my website, you'll see the Bill Clinton Area 51 files, and they actually call the file is called Area 51, even though the U.S. government still will not admit there is an area called Area 51. The file is called Area 51. I have the I filed the big one that's give me all your stuff on UFOs, flying saucers. That's 900 pages, so I've got all that on there. And a lot of that is Stephen Greer stuff. It sort of confirms the fact that Stephen Greer was heavily involved with the Clinton administration. You'll see a lot of Stephen Greer's briefing stuff on there. There's 900 pages of UFO stuff. I've got the documents or all the photographs I got from the ranch, Hillary at the ranch, and I'm still putting those things up. I still have maybe a couple thousand pages of UFO FOIA material from the Clinton administration to put up there, because the Clintons were extremely interested. Bill even said directly to Paul Davids, who had a five-minute conversation with him in 2008, that he's fascinated in the subject. He likes to read this stuff. He's fascinated in it. So they were interested, and they tried to get the story out, the UFO story. They tried to get the Roswell story out in 1993 and were stonewalled by the Air Force. And then that's led Bill to make the big speech in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where he said, as far as he knew, there was a UFO did not, or a flying saucer did not crash in Roswell, New Mexico. But if they did find alien bodies, they didn't tell me about it, and I want to know. That led to a second Roswell study. So Bill tried to get the answer out. He tried to get the UFO thing out. He declassified hundreds of millions of pages of material, trying to get openness. He was one of the most open presidents in terms of getting stuff out into the open. So I've gotten those documents, and you may find, your people may find some of that stuff very interesting, because the Clintons have a lot of rumored stories. I think my section on the Clintons, if you go to the Clinton section that tells the Clinton story, I think it's 80 pages long. It's a very long narration about the Clintons' involvement and all their officials. And in 2001, I filed the first FOIA with the Science Advisor's Office, and I got 1,000 pages of documents, which were the Rockefeller Initiative documents, which are also on my website. And because I had the Rockefeller Initiative document, I knew all the people in the Clinton administration who had been involved in UFOs, who was involved, what their participation was. So when Clinton left office and his papers went up for FOIA, I filed on all these different people to ask for their files and tried to get this UFO stuff. So that stuff is all pretty interesting, and it's going up at the website. And it's just so much stuff. It's more for a researcher if you want to go through it, because if you've ever been to an archives, you read through a lot of documents, and you'll see that the documents there, a lot of it is just total garbage. But if you go through presidential libraries, you would spend say 3 or 4 days at a library and maybe get 5 or 10 pages of documents. Most of the stuff you're reading is just stuff about everything else, and there's very little there. But I did get the documents, and they are up at the website, so that's something I should mention.
Was there anything about John F. Kennedy?
Well, that was an interesting one. Bill Clinton, if you remember the story back, Bill Clinton, people may not know, Bill Clinton was fascinated with Robert Kennedy. There's a story told, and there's the photograph, that when he was very young, he wanted to be president, and he was part of this boys group and actually got to go to Washington, D.C., and sort of manipulated his way to get to the front of the line and actually got to shake Kennedy's hand. And there's this famous photograph of him shaking Kennedy's hand. So he was always fascinated with two people, Elvis Presley and President Kennedy. So when he was in, If you remember back in 1997, Webster Hubble came out with a book, and in that book he said that Bill Clinton, when he was associate at Justice, he was given two jobs by Bill Clinton. One job was, are there UFOs? The second job that he was given to investigate is, who killed JFK, which proves that Clinton was interested in UFOs, he was interested in Kennedy, but it proves something even more important, that Clinton was a conspiracy-minded guy, just like the rest of us in UFOs. He didn't believe the UFO story, and he didn't believe that Kennedy was killed by a lone assassin. So he was asking, I want you to go and reinvestigate these two big mysteries. Who killed Kennedy, and are there UFOs? He believed the conspiracy. He believed there was a cover-up. So he goes out and he investigates it. So one of the FOIAs I filed was, I want all documents on the Kennedy assassination. The first and they have not released this yet. The preliminary report that came back to me said there are 2,500 pages of material in the Clinton Library. So Kennedy was reinvestigated by the Clinton administration, and there's at least 2,500 pages of documents.
Wow. Well, in my mind, whenever I think about the first picture, I think of Bill Clinton was shaking hands with President Kennedy. That sticks in my mind. I just think all of it's amazing. Was there anything about Richard Nixon?
In terms of what, his files or?
In his files that had to do with UFO cover-ups or?
No, his similar
phenomena.
His is similar to all the presidents. There's really not much there. There's an interesting little thing where some girl writes him a letter on UFOs. Like, now you need a petition and 25,000 people to get an answer from the president. Then the president was answering letters in those days. So he actually answered this letter to this little girl on UFOs, and it was we don't know what's going on or, whatever. And he actually sent her a book. And so it's a different period. Nixon, of course, is famous.
Right.
And there are, if you talk to George Filer, if you ever interview George Filer, ask him about this. There are a number of sources to this story. And George Filer's wife is one of the sources. And that's the story about him going to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida. And that he went to Homestead, Florida, and he got a car and he went and picked up Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason lived on a golf course just south of Miami, about 20 miles away, and that he took him to Homestead Air Force Base and he showed them the dead aliens. Now, David Rudiak and I tracked down Jackie Gleason's second wife, who originally was going to told the story to the National Enquirer in 1983, and we tracked her down, and she was re-interviewed again, and she basically said, yes, I stand by my story, that Jackie Gleason came home, and he was either out with another woman or something serious happened. He was petrified when he came into the house. He was white as a ghost, and he told me this story that Nixon had taken him and shown him the dead bodies. And there was a lot of controversy about, oh, Nixon couldn't get away from his security. This is absolute nonsense. The president doesn't get a car and drive off and drive around Air Force bases. And we confirmed absolutely that Nixon did. Nixon did not like his security, and there are a couple of stories of him getting away from his security, and they would have to go and get him from some restaurant or a bar or stuff like that. So we confirmed that part of the story, that Nixon could get away from his security. And the other thing that was important was I tracked, when I went to the Nixon files, I tracked all the times that he'd gone to Key Biscayne, where Nixon had a southern White House. That's where he would hang out. And he would go down there on his vacation, and that was very close to Homestead Air Force Base. Every time he would fly, and he flew there, I can't remember how many times, it was like 100 times during his two presidencies or whatever, it was a lot of times. He would fly down there. He would fly from Washington to Homestead Air Force Base, where this incident supposedly took place. Then he would use, I think it was Army One, the helicopter, would fly him from Homestead to the compound at Key Biscayne. So he flew into Homestead 75 times or whatever it was, 100 times, he knew Homestead like the back of his hand. So the story has some backing. And Larry Warren tells a story that when he put out the book on Rendlesham, that he was contacted by Jackie Gleason, and Jackie Gleason wanted to meet with him, and that he went to Jackie Gleason's roundhouse in New York, and they shot pool, and they drank scotch, and he said, told me straight to my face, and he's told it to other people, that Jackie Gleason told him, yes, this story is true, that he was there. And as I said, there's a person in a witness that appears at a lecture in Houston that tells the same story. And as I said, George Filer's wife confirms a witness that she talked to who confirms the story that, yes, this incident did take place, that Nixon did show the bodies to Jackie Gleason, the comedian.
Wow. Well, Grant, this has been wonderful. And we thank you so very much on being on the show tonight. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you for having me.